All right, now I'm back. We're set.
In this video, we're exploring, did Rick and Morty hide the existence of Tower 5? Or was it Tower 3? Building 6?
It's
Building 7.
It's Building 7. Here, actually, there's a... You should put this in the...
It's Building...
Yeah, you should put this in the stream. Hold on. I'll send it to you. You can play it for a second. Where is that song? Building 7.
Everyone stand by.
Sorry, I thought I knew the exact search terms.
If you're cleaning the house, if you're washing dishes right now, I want you to hold too. Turn off the sink. We're all going to stand by for just a second here.
Wait, is that song?
Thank you for your patience.
Did that song get taken off of YouTube?
We're doing a little bit of a sound design right now.
We're learning something. All right, here we go.
That I'm in charge of the soundboard.
Yeah, well, that's only because of logistics. And so, welcome to equality, Griffin.
Yeah, welcome to me, the logic and order and objectivism.
That's not what that word means.
Well, what's the other one? I'm a utilitarian.
Oh, okay. Do you want the greatest pleasure for the most people?
No, I want free utilities. I don't want to pay for them.
That was John Stuart Mill's whole thing. He was like, one day there's going to be electricity, and I don't want to pay for it.
Oh, wait. Let's go back a second. There's a million reasons why I don't believe it.
Yeah, I'm telling you. This song is going to teach you everything you need to know about Building 7.
Oh my god.
See? This is like one of the best YouTube videos.
God, this is like... This is like some sort of like... It's got some pop punk chords to it.
Yeah, I know. It's got a little bit of like Paramore, Fall Out Boy to the composition for sure.
I know. Yeah, Paramore is teaching me about the Bush family legacy. Wait, what was that last fact?
Out of 19 Muslim guys, 7 still remain alive.
Is that... That's not true.
I don't think it is either, but I have no idea.
The claim is that they survived the planes?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me, for real.
There needs to be a whole song just about that. Folks, let's get started. What did you not realize?
That England had a national anthem.
Yes, and it's about the Queen dying.
Yeah.
That's their national anthem.
God save.
Seems like something they should have kind of expected. Folks, it has been a month. I've had to run the whole show. I've had to, you know, through creative and legal differences between me and Lux, Lux had to leave the show for a couple weeks.
I had to stay.
Those have now been resolved. And I had to, eliminate Lux's lawyers. And now that he has no lawyers left, he is back on the show. And we went through a lot of changes in the show. And you know what? We were getting a lot of positive feedback. People were really a big fan of Lux 2.0. Even though Lux 2.0, I think, talked a little too much about Apex Legends. And that was mainly the feedback I was getting from the audience. And then, you know, we had Lux 3.0. Kind of a wild card, a sicko, a freak, a sycophant for Game Boys and biking. And he had to go because he was a bad man. But then, you know, I had a whole Lux 4.0 planned. But then she couldn't do the podcast because she was the Queen of England. So no one really suffered more or hurts more The two tiers of the kingdom lie here on the Game Boys podcast, because there was a whole version of the show that was just me and the Queen, the big greatest gamer of Wales. Is that in England?
It's not in England. It's Wales? In the UK. It's a different country.
Fuck. But we would go there.
It's in the
we
UK.
Would vacation
she's
there.
She's technically the queen of it.
Right, she's the queen of it. That's all right. But now, folks, the worst podcast ever returns with normal programming. Welcome back to the show, Lux 1.0.
Bum, bum, bum. Reject modernity, embrace tradition. I'm back. Let's go. Mm-hmm. God save the queen. Just kidding, he can't. It's over.
Yeah, just kidding. He did not. He failed the QuickTime event.
Yeah.
On that one.
Our Lord Christ hit X when he should have hit square, and now Lizzie's in a box.
Yeah.
Man.
Lizzie.
Yeah.
They have a Lizzie, and we have a Lizzie McGuire.
Yeah. And they have a Liz Truss, and we have a Liz Warren.
Don't we also have a Liz? Wasn't there a Pete Buttigieg, like, campaign manager
named Liz
something?
We have a Liz Smith. Good pull. Good
point. Sorry, Liz Smith is the real Liz
right
now.
Liz Smith is definitely also more a Liz Truss than Liz Warren is.
In Smith we trust. So, Lux, it's so good to have you back. I'm so glad all of our financial, legal, and philosophical differences were solved off the show, so the show can continue.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like you said in the intro, like, sometimes you have legal struggles that are sort of strung out in court, and there's long discussions, and sometimes you run out of lawyers because they keep falling into traps set by, you know, your legal opposition. And eventually, when you've got no lawyers left, you just got to say, well, I guess I lost this case. And that's what happened to me.
Yeah, well, and that's actually the judge has to call it at that point. They say, no more lawyers. We ran out.
They say you had three lawyer one-ups. The first one fell in a punji pit. The second one, anvil fell on them. And the third fell down the stairs. So...
Mm-hmm. But then the judge opens up like a gotcha style game in the courtroom. It's like, would you like to pay $29.99 to get a 30% chance at rolling for new lawyers?
Yeah, and I just like I'd spent all of my quarters on the previous lawyers, and so I just couldn't pull the gotcha trigger. So I'm back, baby.
Yeah, you're back. We're back, and we have so much to cover. I don't even really know where to begin. I mean, we were both just very unceremoniously fired from G4 TV.
Yeah, and then Fanbyte.
And then, of course, Game Boys was taken down off Cloudflare.
Yep.
So it's been an attack by big media, small media, and like G4, you know, irrelevant
media.
Yeah,
see, that's the problem, right, is that people think about it as like big media versus small media. But really, it's more big media versus medium media, and medium media versus small media, and small media versus insignificant media, which is sort of where we live.
Yeah, the medium media tyrants are really something to behold. But for those who don't know, you know, G4 TV, Attack of the Show, and then I guess a bunch of other random bullshit. Olivia Munn, that show, they tried to bring it back over the last, like, year and a half to 2 years. There was, like, a soft launch, and then, like, an official, like, I think it's actually, like, on some TV channel somewhere, but it's also, I guess, like, online and, like, streaming to Twitch or whatever.
Yeah, my roommate sometimes watches the TV channel, and it seems pretty fun. It's just...
Okay.
It's just, like... The problem is that, like... It's not that different from, like, the daily highlights stuff on YouTube, right? But it's for a whole day instead of, like, 10 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, you can find those, like, gaming highlights of the day comps on YouTube. And that's basically, like, 90% of the G4 content that I've seen. It's like, I can watch this in 10 minutes and be fulfilled, and I don't need to have a full TV channel playing it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, like, it starting, like, a whole, like, TV channel, vibe in an era where, like, no one has... It's impossible to watch TV. It's very expensive and difficult to find and not rewarding. So it's like, I don't know. It always seemed like a kind of a crazy proposition to me to, like, try to do a TV show when no one's watching TV. And it seemed like what they kind of ended up doing was realizing that it was a terrible idea. And, like, over the last year, their emergency plan was to, I guess, just, like, clout shark off actually successful creators and streamers. Because what they would do is they would probably pay an appearance fee to, like, one of the Twitch streamers that actually has an audience. And then have them be, like, hosts on their channel. But it all just felt a little kind of, like, forced and inorganic. And yeah, people don't give a fuck about brands anymore. They care, I guess, about weird French Canadian men. And
well, who doesn't care about guys in tank French tops? Canadian men?
I wish that's what XQC sounded like. Then I would get the appeal. Then I'd be like, go for it. This is like a Pepe Le Pew type character with like 200,000 people watching.
If you don't
watching,
have like the nasty French Canadian accent. Because like, it's funny because like, someone, I forget who it was, but someone was compared the French accent to the French Canadian accent with my friends and was like, the French accent is like listening to like songbirds chirping in the trees. And the French Canadian accent is like hearing like a groundbound bird scream at you, like one of those nasty birds. Like instead of it being like, it's like. Rah!
I love a groundbound bird. That's a great term.
I mean, I love an emu. I saw an ostrich at the zoo while I was in DC. Loved that.
Mm-hmm. They're great. There's a lot of emus in Texas for some reason, and they will just fuck you up. Like one like went all the way in my car, stuck its head in there, was just going to town. I'm impressed now. Horrified in the moment.
Let us never forget that there was like a war between the people of Australia and emus, and the emus won. So like I think that shit did happen.
Well, to be fair, the U.S. did supply the emus with over $10 billion in military aid.
Yeah, but that didn't even really matter because they didn't know how to spend it. It's just the U.S. knee-jerk reaction. Anytime there's a war, we have to send a bunch of aid to one of the sides.
Yeah, the emus actually, they sold it all for grain. Yeah. They didn't even need them.
And that's why fucking...
and fentanyl.
Yeah, well, you know, it goes without saying. You buy anything, you're getting a little bit of fentanyl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like how the Russian people right now are like, where are the Nazis? We were told they were Nazis. Where are they? Like, they're losing so bad. They're like, hey, wasn't this supposed to be about Nazis? Where'd they go?
It's this weird thing where like, this thing has happened in the world that's very funny to me, which is that everyone's agreed that they don't like Nazis, which is a good agreement. I think we can all concur with that. But the part where it becomes mm-hmm. funny is that no one seems to be able to agree what a Nazi is, even though they have, like, very clear things. And so, like, there's, like, right-wing militaries in the Ukraine, and the Russians are like, we're killing all these Nazis. And it's like, well, there's, like, some racist guys and, like, Nazi-adjacent dudes, but, like, that's not the whole deal. And everyone's like, the Russians have Nazis. And it's like, yeah, probably, but, like, it's like a... They're all over the place, and like this whole framing of like the Ukraine's where the Nazis live and Russia isn't is crazy. And
yeah,
the way that it's playing out in Russia, like you're saying, is very funny.
Let's check the Nazi server populations and see what the ratios are in countries. You know, be like, I mean, I feel like Russia should probably come here first. But you know. I think that there's, like, the old type of Nazi, the 1940s Nazi. Now there's, like, a new type of modern kind of right-wing fascist. It reminds me, like, they're not exactly the same to me. It's, like, heartless and nobodies. It's like, yeah, kind of the same thing, but they got a new flair to them. They're nobodies, right? They're people trying to become whole again, and they're very lost.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty true, especially a lot of, like... contemporary Nazis they're terrible people, obviously, because they have horrible beliefs and they execute on them, but a lot mm-hmm. of them I do think are people who are like look at the state of collapsing capital and are just like scrambling for an alternative and are like sort of too like brain soaked to like think that, you know, maybe going hard the other way is a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to dry that brain out.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes it gets too wet. It gets mildewy. Yeah. So, that's the global news. But back to G4, which is, you know,
Globe 4,
you know, which, you know, they've shown the receipts, no Nazis at G4 that we know of. But basically, the story that happened this week is that G4 had to lay off a large percentage of its staff. Over 30 people got fired, and they are reassessing like everything that they're going to be doing there. And so there's the interesting stuff about, I guess, like, can brands even work in this new era that's all focused on personalities? But then also this hilarious fucking tweet. Did you see what I sent you this morning?
Yes, I did.
So someone from G4 who didn't get fired tweeted out, "Let's play some games, yo," with a meme that says, "I survived."
It has like a little iguana smoking a joint, wearing a crown and sunglasses.
Yeah, it's like the stupid meme of smoking a joint and being cool.
Yeah. Real cool guys smoke cigarettes.
I think it's really funny because the like tweet right before was her like retweeting someone being like, "I've been laid off. It's been tough. I enjoyed my time. If anyone's looking, please hire me." And the next tweet's like, "I survived."
That's why I'm a little bit more awesome. Like, partially just like the ethos is why like the Fanbyte one bothered me more than the G4. I mean, they both fucking suck and are bad. But the G4 one is like,
wait, what happened at Fanbyte?
Fucking, they laid off almost everyone. Like everyone, like Merritt and Mike basically got laid off.
I've never heard of this website.
Oh, it's a really good gaming website that I read all the time.
Really?
Yeah, it's very good, but it's not going to be good anymore because all of the editorial staff is gone.
I feel like we're like 2 years away from robots writing these articles. Let's be real for a second. It's like, it sucks. It sucks that journalism is like almost impossible to make a living off of. But I would say like 80% of video game articles don't actually have writing, but information. Like, this event is now released. Here are the things you can earn.
That was why
the event lasts from this time to this time. Like, I feel like that's like 80% of them, and only 20% are like, here's my actual human opinion about video games.
Yeah, well, that's basically what we're describing. Like, that tension is like kind of, from what I understand, the core of the Fanbyte thing is that like, Fanbyte did a lot of editorial stuff and had a lot of like writing centric weirdness. But then like, as we're looking at it, like you see these gaming news and rumors and like guide stuff on the page. And apparently like the top down thing was like, we're firing a bunch of people because we don't need these like good, talented writers who cost a lot of money because we want to pivot into just like gaming updates and guides.
Yeah. And also like, I mean, it's really hard for companies to do this, but like I would rather watch a YouTube video essay on a game review than like a fucking read an article about it like 9 times out of 10.
I prefer to read the articles, but it's like in so many cases there's so many disincentives to writing those articles at a high level. Like, mm-hmm. like that's the thing, is like the Fanbyte boss is just being like, look, we get more clicks on just gaming update news that just like pops up in Google searches, and we get more clicks on guides that just pop up in Google searches, and no one's looking for like why Street Fighter reminds me of, you know, important moments in my life, the essay. Right. And so they just aren't gathering those clicks. And so like, it's just, it costs so much less to just do gaming news and guides, and they get more clicks, and that means they get more money. And so from the top down, like corporate perspective, it's like the logical choice. It's just bad and sucks.
I would also say that like the main articles that weren't just like, I'm not going to say, I don't know, they're more just like kind of like more airy ideas, like, oh, what Street Fighter makes me feel, or what it means to culture or whatever. But articles that I felt like had value used to be articles where a few journalists got to go experience a game that's like in like a very hidden access level, and they got to write about their experience playing it. But more often than not now, those like alphas, early accesses, and betas are just released to the public or shown online. So like journalists don't really have scoops anymore.
Yeah, I agree. Like, that is very much the landscape. I think that, like, and that's the thing, right? That actually what you're describing is another part of the same sort of cost economy that I'm sort of getting at, is that, like, so if you're not writing sort of scoop stuff to get clicks, what you're trying to leverage off of is either, like, news, like we're talking about, this kind of boring shit, or, like, these more airy, kind of thoughtful, like, reading, writing, because writing is an art form type discussions about video games. And, like, there's, like you said, there's no more scoop things. They can't really do on that as, like, a thing. And people don't necessarily want en masse this sort of, like, more fun, whimsical approach to this stuff. So, like, the only thing that's profitable is, like, best ways to unlock the queen skin in Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
Which sucks.
You have to buy King Richard Mike money in bucks. His name's Richard, right?
The new king?
Charles.
Have you seen his nasty fingers, by the way?
Yeah, they are, listen, those are like the hands of an MMO player.
Squished down and sausaged up.
Yeah, well, no, it's the hands of a PC player who has one of those mouses with 20 buttons on the side, and he's just, his fingers just hit all of them. Just pushes all of them. Yeah, I think that his fingers are good. I think that if we're gonna have kings and queens, they should look like giant worm sacks. They should look as little as human as possible, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're treated that way. Like, this is something. That I was saying to some people yesterday, is that, like, there's obviously, like, political, like, efficacy and ethical and moral questions about having a monarch that are already, like, it's obviously bad. But, like, even if all those things weren't true, just how, like, humiliating and weird and simpy the entire queen's funeral situation is so cringy and embarrassing. Like, that's a reason not to have a queen. Like, they don't treat them like human beings. Like, she's in a glass box and people are waiting for days to go, like, look at it.
Yeah, but, like, if people in America had cultural permission to do that to, like, Obama, they would.
I know.
Like, that. And so I think that they're actually an elevated culture over there, because they already assume or acknowledge the fact that there's a certain amount of the population that wants to engage in society in this way. It's a completely frivolous and silly way, and they're silly people. They don't deserve to be put down. They just deserve to have their fun little thing. And then the real parliament gets to, you know, create the laws and, you know, build the pedophile island.
Yeah, so I think that's bad. I think that you shouldn't do that. It's so crazy. Like, they're,
but,
like,
but we have that now in ours. It's just actually intermingled with a system that actually does affect people.
Yeah, but it's not codified to the same degree where, like, hospitals, like, close for non-necessary procedures for 5 days because the queen died, and so a bunch of people, like, can't get their blood tests. Like, that kind of shit.
It is funny how fucking weepy they
are.
That's
what I mean.
Like, I remember I dated a girl, and my high school girlfriend was British, but raised in America, so she didn't have an accent. Huge L. And her parents were very British, and I remember her telling me that, like, when Diana died, her mom didn't come out of that, like, her bedroom for, like, a month. And that's just, like, it's fine. Get a hobby. Do these people have video games over there?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is why you don't get a lot of elite British streamers, is that, like, they're all busy thinking about the queen.
Well, they do the fucking video essays and guides. It is incredibly rare to watch a YouTube guide on a video game and have it not be like, all right, here we go. So, Tower Fantasy, like, whenever I hear an American, I'm like, wow, thank you. Finally, someone speaking English.
Oi, Gov, isn't it a bloody mess how crazy it is to fight the mental madness in the jungle, Street Fighter? It reminds me of London Grime, baby. It's me, Cammy, with the spin kicks, isn't it? And it's like, I don't...
I wish they were that fun. They're always like
ghosts. Fancy British guys.
They're always like monotone ghosts. They're these ghost boys.
They're all fucking the yellow wallpaper type.
They're the ghosts of Chimney Sweep boys. Now they're just doing YouTube essays about how to get more red nucleus to unlock banner characters.
Please, sir.
In gacha
please,
games.
Please, sir. Please, roll the gacha, sir, and get the unlocks. Look for the 5-star rank 1 unlock, sir. Please.
All right, let's talk about China for a second.
Oh, God. All the fucking Maoist music is so sick.
So, a big arc you might have missed, Lux, is that I have moved to China, and I've become very pro-China government. I mean, everyone is here.
We all love it.
But I have to say, I've been really into this Tower of Fantasy game. But update on it, China's betrayed me. And I'm now on a plane back to the States.
And how's that?
Because, well, it's really, really frustrating. Because, you know... I've been playing this Tower Fantasy game. I've been playing it free to play, so I don't spend any money. It is a game that, you know, really does, if you get addicted to it, want to trick you into spending an insane amount of money. So here's what happened. You have to get a good team comp in this game to really succeed and get to really high levels and stuff. And that means you want certain elements from different team members to get residences.
Okay.
So, I want a physical residence team. There's been a lot of options for me to have combos for the first 2 months, but I wanted this physical residence team because I really like the characters and their playstyles. But that meant that I was going to have to wait like 2, 3, maybe 4 months for the next physical character to drop in order for me to get a team combo and a residence. And I was like, that's worth it. I'm going to be weaker. I'm not going to be as fully epic or as awesome as other people that are just boosting characters they have now. But I'm going to wait. I'm going to put my time in. I'm going to save as much microtransactions that I've earned for free as I can and stock it all up. The character came out yesterday. I rolled all of my microtransaction currencies and did not get the character.
Oof.
It is really bad luck that happened. I think I had like a 60 to 70% chance of getting her at some point, and I didn't ever get her. And now I don't want to play the game. Because in order to get her now, I would have to spend like $70.
That's crazy. That's so much money. Why is that the amount of money?
And here's the real crazy thing is like, I guess now it would have to be about $40 or $50 to guarantee it. But yeah, it's sad. It's ridiculous. And it's crazy. It's crazy that I even for a second was considering it. I was like, maybe, because then I'll never buy again. But I can't. That's insane. That's unacceptable.
Yeah, that's too much money. It's like for these games, I don't, what the fuck? What the button? Computer. Okay.
I like it. What is it?
I think I had my fantasy football page open in the background that I haven't looked at all day, and I think it just started playing a thing because something auto-triggered it. Doesn't matter.
Your computer's like, so, I did a thing.
Yeah, your computer's like, a little professional news. but yeah. It sucks. The fundamental betrayal of these gacha games is exactly what you're describing. Like, at some point you get to the part where it's like either you spend the money or you don't, and they're forcing you into that. And then it's like, it can be kind of heartbreaking when it's like that's the game you want to play, And they're like, if you want to play it the way you want to play it, you owe us an entire game's worth of money.
Yeah, it is really frustrating because it's like, it was this moment where I was like, I literally, once I get this character, I really won't have to like roll on characters for like a really long time. I can just play the game and just earn the other bullshit for free to upgrade all my stuff. But now I'm in this position where I'm like, man, like in order for me to like play this game at like a level that I want to, I now have to dump an insane amount of money into it. And it just, it's just the most aggressive I've ever been shook down in a game. And it makes me sad because I really fundamentally enjoy it mechanically, visually, aesthetically.
Yeah,
I love a lot about it.
You were playing this gacha game before I had to go away for a while to hang out with lawyers. And the fact that you were playing it then and continue to be playing it even up till now, like, but for any game is, you know, pretty impressive. And for like a free gacha game to hold your attention that long is like pretty out of control.
Yeah, I think that like I still am pretty impressed that, you know, it's a good point. There was a lot of free time I've put into it and a lot of like rewarding time. But yeah, I'm at this spot now where I'm like, how do I break through this one hiccup and then hopefully I'll just be like free forever from that. But I don't know. I think next week I may come back having completely shamed myself. We'll have okay, to see.
It's official. Time to start a shame watch.
All right, China, you're on watch. But Mao, you're always welcome.
Yeah, Mao, you keep it fucking banging, dude.
The government's been lying to you, and I will not apologize.
It would be pretty funny if someone like held you specifically accountable for the government lying to them. They were like, Joe Biden said he was going to give me $2,000, Griffin. Why the fuck did you do this?
Listen, he did some gotcha math. He said you can roll for the 2,000, but you might get a chance at 600.
real what's in the box? It could be anything, even a boat.
Real loot box. I mean, I don't know if we have time to do full Nintendo Direct and PlayStation Direct. They did both come out. They don't have like a ton of titles in each of them, so I do think we could bang through it. But there was
give me the highlights, because I've been either catching up on work or catching up on sleep, so I didn't see either of them yet.
Okay, well, why don't we just push that to next week then? Okay. And because I do have other content I would like to talk about.
Yeah, I started a new game.
Okay, nice. I did too. But we'll get into both of those. Just a light general story before that. It's shooter season, baby. I haven't played a shooter in like 5 months. You know, it's felt very dead. The Battle Royale has felt very dead. Call of Duty lost like 50% of its players. Like, there's just sick little weirdos still playing Apex. Like, it's very dead. Fortnite, everyone's just playing it casually. But now, ooh. They just released new footage of the Call of Duty Warzone. It's looking like a game that is very similar to the game I like, but perhaps it won't break this time. We'll have to see what the content road looks for it. But it was looking sick. We keep on getting day by day Overwatch 2 news. They're fucking stuff up with the game. I'm hoping it's still fun. But man, there's going to be some shooters this season.
That is exciting to probably literally every person who plays video games except for me. I'm excited to try Overwatch 2. I liked Overwatch 1. We had a lot of fun playing that when it first came out.
Yeah, like you'll like play it on your PS5 with us. I think everything is cross-play now too, finally.
Yeah, because I remember when it first came out, you and me and Burf and shit played that game quite a lot, and it was a lot of fun.
That's what I miss. We need a shooter that anyone can jump into.
Yeah, exactly. It needs to be an accessible shooter, because like, obviously, like, a big part of the reason shooters are so popular and so fun for a lot of people is that they are kind of a skill check game. And, like, that's cool, but there's got to be a level where they're not a skill check game totally, because otherwise...
Yeah,
it's impossible.
It's like a team check.
Otherwise, it's impossible for just, like, people like me who just, like, want to, like, do their goof-offs to play those games.
Yeah. It's so funny because, like, there's so many Blizzard is so funny in the last couple months because they have so many things going right about a game. People are excited about Overwatch 2. They're excited about the new characters, maps. They're curious about the PvE, and it's free to play. So they're very excited. And then Overwatch comes out, and they're like, well, actually, you're going to need to pay for the Battle Pass in order to unlock new characters in Overwatch. And people are like, what? And yeah, I think this is like a colossal mistake, because they could just make the money off cool cosmetics. Like, there's no reason for them to like fundamentally roadblock actual mechanics of the game. It's so stupid.
But that's the model now, is like, they want to milk out some level of commitment from the players, like on a financial level.
No, but I get that, like, and do that with the Battle Pass. Because, like, listen, if I'm playing Overwatch fucking 5 days a week, I'll pay the $8 a month to get, like, incredible fun skins or new ways to interact or do things that don't affect the skill of the game or whatever. But the problem is now it's, like, if you have to, like, if you have to go into games and you just like see characters that you don't have, that like change the meta or make things overpowered or underpowered, Overwatch has never been about unlocking characters. It's been about unlocking new skill levels within you.
Yeah.
And so like with a game like Call of Duty, like those games have always been about upgrading your guns, new attachments, new things to improve your play. So it makes sense to unlock things that way. But in a game like Overwatch, it's about getting to play all the characters, getting to try new things. And so I think that it's just a huge mistake.
Yeah, I mean, it does, like you say, it does sort of change the, like, this is something we've actually talked about with regards to, like, Soulsborne games. That, like, the thing that makes them so good and so compelling to so many people is that the real thing that changes as you go on is more you than the character, that you just get better at doing the game. And that we've seen that, like, people really respond to that, that, like, having a tangible reward for personally improving, not in the mechanical sense, but just in the sense of, like, oh, you can, like, now I can pull off this weird combo attack, or I know how to time my ult right, or whatever, feels good and encourages people
to
play.
That's why I hated Elden Ring. And that's why Elden Ring was the worst Souls game, because it actually demanded that you grind stamina and strength to absurd levels and, like, totally water down your character identity.
Yeah, the end of Elden Ring, even though I really love Elden Ring, the end of it becomes grindy in a way that really betrays the first, like, 75% of the game.
I still haven't finished it, because I don't have any mana. So I can't do summons, because I didn't invest in summons. Anyways... it'll be interesting to see. I think Overwatch 2 will get a big pop at first, but they need to really make, if they're going to like make the characters Battle Pass only, they need those characters to be accessible by free to play in a very easy way. It can't be like you have to play 200 games of Overwatch to unlock the next character. People are just going to fall off. And the main problem with Overwatch isn't the fundamentals of the gameplay or any of that shit. The main problem with Overwatch has always been player population, because they don't provide enough of content updates. They don't keep their players around, so the game just dies. That's the big problem. And, so you just have to keep the people there.
And there's like an integral kind of middle step of that too, which is that because they don't do these updates and because they don't market it towards, or like Overwatch is a game where like, if you play with the same people and develop a strategy and like chemistry, you can do a lot of shit in that game. But it makes it really hard to play as a casual individual without like playing with your friends, because the game doesn't really reward you for that. In fact, it largely punishes you for that. And you can run into like legit people who play all the time who will just smoke your ass instantly and then just drive you down the like standing stuff. And so casual players leave, which creates a more competitive environment. But then no one new can join, because if you're new and you're joining and the environment is like super competitive and teched out, you're just going to get smoked 15 times and be like, I don't want to play this anymore.
Yeah, like imagine like when like, you know, 3 or 4 months into the game, you like convince two of your friends to check it out. They load in and they can't access like four characters that would like be helpful then. Like that would just be like really frustrating. Yeah. They'd be like, okay.
And then you're like, let's try it anyway. And they just get fucking aced for all five games that you play. And then they're like, okay, fuck this game. I don't want to play anymore. And so you don't get a robust casual base, and then you don't get new players. And then the population, as you said, dies out.
And the big thing about new character releases is it's supposed to be a population spike. You're supposed to, like, it's just like a patch, expansion, or update. It's a time in the game to bring players back. And if players come back and can't immediately try the new content, the new character, then, like, what are they there for?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll have to see how that goes. Maybe they handle it in a way that we couldn't foresee. I'm still excited to play the game with my friends because at the end of the day, I've been deeply missing that. What game have you been playing? Actually, I see it on Discord right now. What is it?
I've been playing The Wandering Village.
Okay. Go off.
It's a new game that came out a couple days ago. I want to say Wednesday or Thursday.
Ooh, hot off the steam.
Yeah, it's still in early access, but it is a city builder survival game where you build your city on the back of a big wandering creature.
Ooh.
Who's like moving through the world. And you build a little city and you have to maintain it and grow it as your population.
This is the world on the turtle meme?
Yeah, basically.
Like the earth is flat because it's
sitting on the back of a turtle. Yeah, like that t-shirt I have. That's about that.
Yeah. It's about that. And it's loosely based on that.
Yeah, a t-shirt loosely based on the mythology. But yeah, so like you make this town.
It looks really cool.
And it's got this nice little like paper cartoony guy aesthetic. And I've only played a little bit of it, but it's fun because you get a lot of there's a lot of variables to manage. It's a lot different than sort of like a SimCity or something like that, because you're not only managing your town, you're also managing the creature you're living on. And there's...
Oh, wait, how do you manage him?
Well, there's stuff that you can do, such as, like if you look at the screen you're looking at right now, there's, like, these big spikes of rock sticking out of the ground. Mm. But those spikes are actually the creature's spikes, so if you mine them too much, you'll make him mad.
And
the creature can get hungry or tired, and if he can, and sometimes he'll get tired in a place where there's like too much poison in the air or the humidity is bad, and so it'll be harder for you to grow your stuff.
He's like a tree dinosaur is how I would describe
him. Yeah, he's like a big tree dinosaur.
Can you customize him?
So far I haven't yet, but who knows?
You should be able to put a fedora on his head.
Yeah, that would be good. The game would benefit for that. But yeah, so...
It's really cool. It's really pretty.
It's really pretty. And it's this really fun balancing act where you can do things like... You can command the monster to do... You can command the creature to do stuff. But, like, sometimes it will listen, sometimes it won't. And commanding it too much can cause problems. Like, if it doesn't sleep enough... Like, for instance, a thing that has happened is that my guy's gotten tired. And I've been like, okay, but you can't go to sleep here because the air is very toxic. And so I've been like, you got to stay awake, but then he's awake at low energy and it hurts his health and that causes other problems.
Oh shit, so he can die? Yeah. And is that game over or do you just like live on his dead carcass?
I think that's game over.
This is a really cool idea, and especially in a realm where there's like, we'll talk about this next week, but like Nintendo like announced like 15 farm games. Like there's so many farm games out, but this seems pretty unique.
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit, well, I think because it has this like survival management element to it.
Uh-huh.
That a lot of those.
So wait, question, like where are you trying to lead the dinosaur to somewhere?
Or you're just trying to survive on its back. You're trying to survive on its back. I think it's like trying to escape from whatever the world map is. Like I've only logged like, about an hour or two on it, so I don't have too much depth. Yeah. But I've just like had so much fun playing it. The only reason I haven't played it more is that I also started another XCOM 2 run, which because you know I love an XCOM 2.
Sure, of course. We got our XCOM game delayed.
Which game is Marvel whatever?
I think it was the Suns one.
Midnight Suns got delayed again.
I think so.
No.
I don't think any games are coming out. I'm shocked Ragnarok's coming out. Yeah, this is super cool. Yeah, I like this a lot. Okay, well then let me bring up my farming game that I've been playing. Folks, I've been playing a little game called Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Oh yeah, baby. Disney presents Animal Crossing.
It is Disney... It's Disney Evolves Animal Crossing. This is a much better Animal Crossing game.
Okay, now why is that?
In almost every way. It is like insanely good, and it's good in ways that like make you think about like how Animal Crossing just did them worse. In like every way. So like, let me get the big ones out of the way. This is a town building game where you slowly acquire new Disney characters to come to your island, set up houses, and you're slowly trying to fix the island because something called the Forgetting happened.
It is so fucking Kingdom Hearts Disney bullshit.
It's like a Kingdom Hearts plotline. Yes, it is, which is genius. Because Kingdom Hearts has been the only video game to successfully balance all the Disney characters under like one scope. So they should have copied it, and it's great that he did. Because essentially, the great fear of the game is that you forget about Disney, and that's the worst thing that you could do. There was a caretaker who ran this island before you, and then he disappeared. And now you're here to fix the island and then bring back new characters and unlock new parts of the island. I would say right out of the bat, there is so much more story to this game than an Animal Crossing game. There are main quests with like multi-tiered steps and levels to them. And not only that, but every new character you bring on has a large relationship meter that unlocks new personal quests for their stories too, that also give you new abilities and new things.
So you're like a lot more active in this game, it sounds like, than in Animal Crossing.
It is. There's just so much more to do. Because, like, in Animal Crossing, it always blew my mind when I saw someone be like, I just played Animal Crossing for a full year. I'm like, I played Animal Crossing for 3 weeks and, like, ran out of stuff to do. Like, I didn't get how people could be streaming that game, like, 2 years later. But, like, with this game, there is just so much to invest in. Because, like, you know, you're choosing which characters that you want to go after next, and then which characters you want to spend the most time with to develop and raise their relationship meters. So there's so much more writing and so much more quest and storytelling that is just really well done. So it reminds me a little bit more of like a Simpsons Tapped Out in terms of like being able to really honor the characters and like give you quests with them. And so like, you know, there's this feeling of attachment to the characters that actually is more meaningful than Animal Crossing ones. Cause in Animal Crossing, it's just like, oh, this bear is fucking blue. I guess that's really cute. This dog has a hat. Yeah. Isn't that cute? But, and that kind of like, that is so much thinner than just like, oh shit, there's Wally. Like, I know who Wally is. I like that guy. Let me do some quests for Wally that are like Wally centric. And also like, let me develop his relationship meter. Let me help him build his house and like build new stuff for him. That's like so much more satisfying.
Yeah, that does seem pretty nice. And like, I guess that does give you a little bit more, just a little bit more general sauce in terms of like, just, you know, one thing I like about Animal Crossing, which is a very me thing to like about it, is that it is kind of bare bones character wise in a way that like lets you do a lot of the narrative work in your own head and like make your own attachments and stuff. But there's obviously a huge benefit to a game that just gets there on its own. and like lets you just live in that from the jump, and you don't, and you can just like get excited about it.
Yeah, and they do keep on really trying new things with the quest. There is this like ongoing mystery about some sort of evil force on the island. There's this ongoing mystery about what happened to the last caretaker of the island. And then there's also interesting quest lines like, I discovered a cave, and inside the cave was Ursula. And Ursula gave me like an evil quest. And she like wanted to do this thing to like encourage me to be evil. And it was so fun and kind of surprising and exciting.
Now, is Ariel in this game?
She has to be. I just haven't found her yet.
She's
Latinx.
Okay, cool. So neither the old Ariel nor the new one, but a third flavor.
She's Latinx. She speaks only in fish, and there was no lights on set.
It's that whole thing is so disheartening to me, just in the sense that like there's a million videos on TikTok now of like the most adorable child in the world being like, oh my God, the mermaid looks like me. And then the comments are all like, this is wrong. The mermaid shouldn't look like that. Yeah. It sucks.
Well, I mean, everyone hates kids.
Yeah, that's true.
they hate seeing kids winning. I think that all that stuff is super silly, but I think like the greatest crime that not enough people are talking about is just how shitty it looks. Like how just drab and dragged through mud. Like it's like such a, it's just so pathetic. It just feels like the most lifeless art I've ever looked at.
Yeah, no, that part sucks. Someone did like a color correct where they just amped the colors and like brought down the like the matting on it, and it looks fucking awesome. Like it's so bright and colorful and cool. But the actual footage that they're releasing in like the trailers is like, it's like, okay, like it's a magical underwater world. Does it really have to be like gray as though only the smallest sliver of sunlight reaches the undersea kingdom?
It looked like 4K raw footage.
Yeah, it really like, does it look pretty terrible. Untreated.
But not just the treatment of the color, but just like the way that I would see side by sides from the original cartoon and then like what they decided to show and like recreate, and it just all would just look so worse. It just looked terrible. So yeah, I fucking hate that. But back to the game, there's also a lot of cool other stuff that you can do in the game. I think the design features are better. I think that they are simpler to use and more intuitive. The farming aspects are very, very fun. And there's also this really cool aspect where every new character that comes to your island, you can give them a trait, whether it's good at like mining, fishing, digging, planting, or foraging. And essentially what you can do is assign them that trait. And then when you want to do some foraging, you go up to a forager character and you say, hey, follow me. And then when you're foraging stuff, they get more XP and like can sometimes have a chance to like double the items that drop.
Yeah, so
there's this like so much more stuff going on.
Yeah, there just sounds like so much. Like, that's always been my problem with Animal Crossing, is that there's like not that much choice making. Mm-hmm. And this feels like there's so much choice here.
Yeah, it's not top down. It's third person. The graphics are incredible. I just have not run out of quests and things to do. It's also really fun because they start you off in this plaza zone, but the island is really massive, and you eventually will unlock enough currency to like unlock new sections of the island. There's so much to gather and craft, but all the menus are so intricately done that like if you're looking for where a gem drops, you hover over it and it tells you the locations on the island to go find it. Like everything about the game is just like it's like operating on such a high level. I'm so impressed with it. I'm really just shocked by it.
Yeah, and
I'm
like, it's funny
I'm very fucking into it.
It's funny that you and my friend Jordan, who both play a lot of games, are both so into this game. You less so because you like Disney stuff. Jordan doesn't even like that, but everyone seems to agree who I know who's played it that this is like very cool.
Yeah, it's just like really impressive, and I think it's going to be something. It's weird because they haven't done enough advertising for it. It should be way bigger than it is, but right now it's early access, and I think you have to pay for it for early access. But it will eventually be a free game in 2023.
And that's what we're excited about.
My advice, don't wait. Play it now. Get in early. Start earning characters. If you have Game Pass, it's on Game Pass.
All right.
Which is even cheaper than buying it.
Hell yeah.
And that's my Dreamlight Valley report. No jokes there.
No, it's like a pretty legit, serious breakdown. But, like, a good sell on that game. Like, I'm much more interested in that game now than I was 20 minutes ago or whatever.
Yeah, and I don't know why it's early access. I think it's because maybe they don't have enough characters yet, but they should just drop it now. They should release it.
Yeah, I mean, that's like what's going on with Iron Oath. Like, Iron Oath is super good and everything basically works, but there's, like, layering in, like, the next wave of story and the next wave of characters, like, incrementally through this beta. Even though I keep being like, just drop the whole fucking game, because, like, everything works. Like, I haven't had a single problem. And I've been playing this beta for, like, 3 months, you know?
Yeah. But, hey, big thumbs up to Dreamlight Valley. Big thumbs down to China. And a double thumbs up and a smile for my friend and co-host Lux to be back on the show.
Whoop whoop, we're back, baby. We'll talk to you guys soon. We'll figure out when we're releasing this later. But thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Wait, we'll figure out we're releasing this podcast later?
Well, when are we going to release it?
I'm posting it now. It's getting posted. I posted by the second.
Oh, well, problem solved, I guess.